Hello and welcome to WP Late Night. Howdy, guys. Been too long.
Hello.
Hey, hey. Nice to see you, gentlemen.
It's been like a year.
At least. 2 or 3 years, at least, yeah.
You know, we like to keep this very consistent, you know. One here.
Models of consistency.
Another one. Wait a month or two. Another one.
Well, technically, we're on four. So, I mean, we haven't yet set the standard for what people should expect, right?
Consistently inconsistent. I can dig it.
We're keeping those expectations low. Low to the ground. Yeah, so, like you said, we can see each other. We are testing out a video stream this week using Spreecast. We should have a short URL for that, shouldn't we? That just goes to that page so we can easily say the URL in the air.
That'd be the professional thing to do,
yeah,
I think.
It would be. Brad tweeted it out.
So we probably shouldn't
retweet what he said, but just giving it a shot because video is a tough thing and there are a number of different services for it. But this one seems kind of neat. Brad, you were kind of checking it out earlier.
Actually, I found this from my buddy Patrick, who does the Copyright 2.0 show on Plagiarism Today. They just switched to this, and I happened to catch the tail end of his, I think it was his last show, last week or maybe the week before. And as soon as I realized what this service could do, how you can kind of patch in four different feeds, I was like, this is exactly what we're looking for. Because we were having a lot of problems with the post-editing of our feed, because we essentially had three different video feeds that we had to kind of mash together and make it look good, and it just took a lot of work, you know? So, hopefully it works out. I mean, first time, I'm sure there's some bugs. It actually hasn't been around that long. It looks like they launched in November, I think. So, maybe 4 or 5, 6 months.
Cool. Well, we'll see how it works. Dre, how have you been? I feel like I haven't talked to you guys in, it's probably been a month. Probably.
I'm still recovering my WordCamp hangover. So,
what is that going on? Like a week and a half now?
Yeah, not in the literal sense of being hammered by alcohol, just anytime you, I mean, for me, when visiting a WordCamp is it's kind of the same feeling afterwards, but when you're organizing one, it wears you out, and then you're like, something's missing, right? You're expecting all these things to happen, and then it's gone.
Gone. So. The best is if you look at pictures, because everybody puts pictures up, after the event, look at pictures of, the organization team before the event, the morning of the big announcement, whatever it may be. And then look at them at like 5 or 6 o'clock that afternoon. And it's noticeably like they have not gotten sleep. You can see it in my face at WordCamp Philly last year. Like you can tell that they have been beat up for the last couple weeks.
Do we have those photos somewhere? We need to add those to the show notes. We need to find that before and after.
Do it. Somebody do it. We like to assign tasks to people on this show. So I don't think we told everybody in our chat room about that yet, but by the end of the show, everybody in the chat room will have a job, and we expect it done by next week.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Actually, that would be a lot easier than us doing it, is just to assign our show notes to individual people so that other people can go find these things and we don't have to. Well, it's fun to hear about San Diego because I am ashamed to have missed it. It sounds like it was a really good time.
It was fun.
It was awesome. Tell us more about it, Dre.
Well, we changed the venue this year to the Thomas Jefferson School of Law, which is pretty much a brand new facility. And that's probably the biggest overall compliment we got about the event was the venue. State-of-the-art technology from the presenting capabilities to just the venue itself is just gorgeous. Very spacious, a lot of electrical plug-ins areas, so that was always cool.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, it was really cool. We had somewhere around 300 folks come. We had 16 presenters on day one, which is Saturday, the main event. And then we had a few presenters on Sunday for Development Day, which went really well. We had somewhere around between 40 and 50 people show up for Dev Day, and the sessions were full. It was a full packed day of geekery, so it was pretty neat. All in all, a fun event. Got a lot of kudos from it. We're excited about it. And, there was a lot of good content. San Diego, it's crazy to know that WordCamp San Diego has only been around 2 years now. And, it's unfortunate it wasn't around before that because there's a lot of people hungry and thirsty for the content, right? They want to know more about WordPress. They want to get involved with it. So it's hopefully a good stepping stone into the future and a lot more WordCamps in San Diego to come.
And did you, I mean, look at this. I mean, this was the speaker gift. Can you see this here? This is a real stitched nice. Baseball jersey with my name on the back. You see that?
That's slick.
I got to say, I've been to a lot of WordCamps. I've spoken at a lot of WordCamps, and this is by far the best speaker gift I've ever gotten. And this is something I'll wear for years to come. In fact, I'll probably wear this at every WordCamp I ever go to so people know who the hell I am.
I noticed them in the live stream of the event, which seemed to go really well, which I was watching. But I hadn't seen the back. I didn't realize that they were all customized like that. That's awesome.
Well, you know, at the end of the day, there's a lot that goes into these events, but without the speakers coming out and taking their time to present and really get that content out to the audience, you wouldn't have a camp. So this is a small way for us to show our appreciation for their involvement and their time and commitment to making a successful event, which we feel it went pretty well.
It was awesome. Definitely hats off to you, Dre, and the whole organization team, Chris and Tony. I mean, you guys and your volunteers, you guys did amazing.
Thank you.
And the fact that, I mean, your tickets were $20, right, for the base ticket?
Yeah, that's so it was $20 for 2 days, right? We actually had 3 days of events. We hold a speaker sponsor social on the Friday night before the main event. With our now all world famous San Diego WordCamp San Diego Taco Bar, so that'll be something that we're going to continue to do every year. And we changed kind of the way that we were doing sponsorships this year. We didn't have too many big sponsorships. We had a lot of smaller sponsorships. We put a sponsorship around every session, and then had individual sponsorships so that we can get more of the local community and small shops that maybe don't have a high budget or can't come in and put, you know, $1,000, $2,000, $3,000 to get their name on the board. It seemed successful. And the neat thing was that we were able to get them all together on Friday night with the speakers. And it was a really, really good event. We had it at Co-Merge, which is a co-working facility in San Diego. Another brand new, brilliant setup over there. Those guys really get it. It's a really nice setup. And then, yeah, I mean, all in all, it was different, but we think it went well.
But, I mean, think about it, the value. So $20. $20 alone for just going to WordCamp presentations is a steal, in my opinion, because the amount of information you're getting and tips and tricks and people you're hanging out with, I mean, $20 is nothing. Not only that, but you got, you know, all the attendees got pretty awesome shirts. Lunch was served. There was coffee and snacks all day long. At one point, they broke out cakes with WordPress logos all over the place. You know, the after party, they were giving out drink tickets. I mean, it was like you almost make money going to this event. It's that, you know, that good of a deal. So it was impressive what you guys did with the dollars that you had. Definitely.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you enjoyed it. We enjoyed it. We look forward to next year. We look forward to Philly.
Yes. Yeah. WordCamp Philly.
What, not to change the subject, but what is everybody drinking tonight? Because that
right.
is kind of
we
a
forgot to cover
show.
That. That's
what I'm doing.
There.
That's what I'm bringing.
This kid is on a sober evening. And a Diet Coke.
You're supposed to fake it and say this is something
it could be
really
anything
strong.
In
there. Wow.
What do you got, Ryan?
I'm drinking currently. This won't be the end of it, but just a Killian's Irish Red.
Nice. Yeah.
I have a diet Ryan Duff tonight, so watching my calories, so it's still good. You know, and the diet's really only for color. I mean, to be honest, it's all rum.
Awesome.
Segway.
Yeah.
Like a Segway beat we can dance to or something.
Segway.
Add it to the effects list. I was actually just pulling up our list of topics. So give me a page reload to see them.
We should probably have that available at
I
all
think
times.
So probably.
Well, the big topic is, you know, 3.4 basically. So it's coming, and it won't be long. I hear I'm hearing buzzes of a May release for 3.4. So that's not too far off.
That's usually how it works, right? You know, beta comes out and it's about what 3-4 weeks maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, about a month usually or so, depending on the severity of the bugs, of course. But
sure.
You know, yeah. the track didn't look too crazy though, so I think it might be a pretty good move into the production.
Well, you know, Aaron Campbell, who's actually, you know, he's a big core contributor, and he's in the chat room. He told me May, so, you know, you heard it from him. So if it doesn't happen to May, I blame Aaron.
Ooh, let me make sure that's in the show notes.
Aaron.
See, if you're in our chat room, we're going to call you out at some point. So that's one to look.
All the more reason to use pseudonyms when in the IRC.
Wow. No,
lie to us. So has anybody played around with 3.4 yet, or just kind of been watching the reports come out?
More yeah. watching from this end.
I've been watching. I was playing with it more when 2012 was in, to be honest, and I think a lot of people were. And then they made the announcement that 2012 was not going to make 3.4 and it's going to make 3.5. So, you know, I was updating probably once a week on SVN and checking out the changes because I was really curious to see what direction they were going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And once they pulled that, I haven't updated since. Shamefully, I'll admit that. But that was kind of, to me, to be honest, that was kind of the big draw. Like, new theme. I love 2010. 2011, I like. I haven't done as much with 2011, so it's not like I dislike it. I just haven't worked with it as much. And I've heard 2012 was going to be a little bit different, you know, outside of the box, maybe more of a CMS layout. You know, there's a lot of rumors. So I was excited to see what they were going to do. But it got yanked, so I haven't been as in touch with it as I would like to be, I guess.
And I mean, and that could be, I mean, maybe it was delayed kind of because it's different, right? I mean, because it's going to take more time.
Right, and it's a good thing. Like, you don't want to rush something out that's going to be buggy or have, you know, problems, inefficiencies, whatever it may be. So I'm sure it was a smart move. It's just, you know, that was kind of like, you know, a new theme. That's exciting to me.
Speaking along the lines of themes, that's one of the things that I'm really interested in as this, and we'll see how it plays out, but the support for installing child themes from the WordPress theme directory, that's pretty slick. I know that part of the theme review process, those have been kind of on standby. People were submitting a lot of child themes, and they were kind of just, hey, let's wait. It's not supported yet. So I think that there's going to be instantly a lot of new themes that fall into that category that are going to be added pretty quickly once that support model's set and it's released. So really cool concept. I'm excited about that.
So what other features are you guys excited about?
Are you guys interested at all in the theme customizer with Previewer? I'll take that dead air as no.
You know, to be honest, as you know, and I'll be honest here, as a developer, 3.4 isn't as exciting as some previous versions have been because I'm a developer. So the theme stuff, that's cool, that's great. The theme designers I work with love it and they're excited about it. But to me, I'm a dev. I'm, you know, like there's been some WP query improvements. That's the stuff that excites me. You know, the really coding stuff, the hardcore coding stuff. XML RPC is probably out of this whole release is probably what intrigues me the most. I mean, I feel like the XML RPC piece of WordPress has so much potential, but it's so underutilized. And a lot of it may just be because people don't really understand how it works or what it does, but that's nice to see that there's been a lot of work around that piece on this release. So the theme stuff, the appearances, the infinite scroll, that's cool. But, it, you know, as a developer, it doesn't excite me personally.
I mean, maybe it's more exciting to me because I guess I feel like I use WordPress as much as I develop with it. So, I mean, I kind of feel like as much a user as a developer, but meh. I'm pretty sure the last podcast we did, we were talking about what could be in 2012 and what we were excited about it because it was still in at that point. That's how long ago our last one was.
Yeah. And going back to Aaron Campbell, he made a good point that 2012 is actually on GitHub, which is a whole nother interesting topic, but it is available, and it sounds like they want to use a lot of the new features of 3.4 within 2012. So that's good to know. Like, you might as well. There's a lot of theme improvements coming in 2012, or I shouldn't say improvements, enhancements. So it'd be nice to know that 2012 is going to utilize those and show those off, because I think the default theme, no matter what it is, should always kind of highlight the strengths and features of WordPress. You know, show off what it can do, show off the new stuff, like make sure it utilizes every you know, every, you know, API, especially on the theme side of things, you know, to really show people, you know, it's a great learning tool. If you're just getting into themes, crack open the default theme and that's where you should start, because that should be as perfect as it can be.
That's way too logical.
Well, my first plugin was based off of Hello Dolly, so.
There you go.
Everybody wants to get rid of it, but hey, it's a good starting point because it's extremely easy to edit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to run it on my personal site. I changed it all to Biggie Smalls. It was awesome.
See, I got a little more geeky. I hooked in RSS feed so I could push like little notices to clients up in their header.
There you go. It was all a dream. Just to read Word Up magazine.
Let's just wrap next half hour.
Yeah, that'd be not good. Not good at all.
Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis. That's as far as I go.
This is the mid '90s rap fan cast.
This is going downhill quick. We should move on.
All right.
So
anybody take a shot?
Hey, it was right on the topic. Can we point out that Beats by Dre is wearing Beats by Dre? Is that that's like
yes.
a in itself?
So meta.
Yes, gotta rock them. They're actually pretty cool. A little heavy.
So I didn't get a chance to talk to you guys about this. Was probably a week and a half ago, but if we would have done a show that week, it would have been something I brought up. The WordPress App Store, which I feel like is a concept that we've touched on before.
It is.
And now it's one, not only one, but I know of two similar ideas that are coming out of hiding around now, which I said that very elegantly, but, did you guys catch, cause I did a post, about the WordPress App Store, and then I've been getting emails about this Renku. I think that's how you pronounce it. And both seem like similar ideas. How much do you guys know about this so I can know how much to recap?
Recap away, my brother. The only point I was going to make was that I think it was our first episode that it came up. We were going over what we'd like to see or what we think is going to come in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where that came up. So exciting to see how quickly someone took our idea and created it.
Yes. I like when people do that because it allows us to be lazier.
Yes, I like that.
dropping the two links that I know about that are seem to be approaching things somewhat similarly, although I know less about Renku. But WP App Store is launching this month, I guess, maybe. You know how those things go. And it is basically, and I think Renku is somewhat similar, but I'll just speak for WP App Store since that's what I know of. It is a plugin that basically adds a theme and plugin marketplace to your dashboard.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the closest, I guess, parallel to Apple's App Store for WordPress developers and theme shops and plugin shops. And it seems, I mean, you know, at this point, I guess since we've already kind of touched on it before, now it's maybe just, you know, we need to wait on it and then talk about our thoughts about the implementation. Because, I mean, I don't know. Does anybody here think it's a bad idea? It seems like a home run, right?
I think it could be pretty good.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. I think the problem is getting traction on an idea like this. Like once it takes off and explodes and everyone starts using it, it's a done deal. But the problem is getting that traction because a lot of people, I think, have tried this. And it hasn't been as successful as others would like to think it should be. Like WPPlugins.com, that's been around for a while. Now, I don't know if they allow you to purchase things through the dashboard, but you can certainly go on there and buy and sell plugins, you know, premium plugins. So it's kind of like a one-stop shop for buying stuff. I just don't feel like anyone's quite done it right. So it's really going to be that one that makes it right, gets a lot of traction, gets a lot of people in the community adding stuff to it and selling things through it, you know, to promote it so that other people see it. So it's a great idea. It'll work eventually. I don't think it's been executed correctly to date.
Well,
and maybe WP App Store will change that because they're not officially launched yet. It says April 2012.
It says April, but I like the lineup that's there now. I think process and the model is you're right. It's an area that hasn't really been hit in our world or ecosystem yet, not successfully. But with that type of lineup, if they can work through some of those early, you know, process issues that may arise with that those type of vendors, they're in a good spot.
Who's behind this? Because I know, one of my other gripes, there's another Brad in the WordPress community, which I'm not happy about, but that's a whole nother topic. Is there like an official company behind this, or is it just a group of people, or is it just Brad that's developing this and he got everybody on board?
I just linked up the WP Handy feature on it from last month that talks a lot more about it, but it's Brad, I believe it's Tunar. I have to go back to check my notes to get the pronunciation, so I might have butchered it. He has partnered with AD Pinar of WhoThemes, and I think that sort of helped him sort of leverage all of the people who are signing on to begin with.
Would this be considered a WhoThemes product and service, or would this be kind of independent and they're just a backer?
A backer as far as I can tell. I mean, the exact details of their partnership, as you can imagine, are not entirely clear. But, I mean, it's not a WhoThemes thing. It's WhoThemes is one of the, it's the first one listed, obviously, as far as shops that are taking part in it. That's who's behind that one, and I believe... Renku is Dan Millward and I think Ryan something. I'd have to check the beta email I got. But I haven't talked to them yet about that, so I know a lot less about that. But it seems like a pretty similar thing.
Yeah, I think I think that's good, because if one of these vendors that is, a part of this launch, party or whatever, is actually controlling and running this thing, I think that's honestly a big turnoff for the other vendors to be a part of it, because they... Yeah. I think it's better if an independent person is actually doing this rather than or independent person or company doing this rather than one of the players that's actually selling products on it.
Yeah, I mean, I think, and like I said, I don't know the full nature of it, but in talking to Brad, other Brad, what would we call him, Brad Prime? I guess you could be Brad Prime. Other Brad. it seems to be his project through and through. I'm not, all that I really heard was that AD was helpful in kind of bringing others on board and lending some legitimacy to the project.
Sure.
Because Brad described himself as, nobody knows who I am. So he would have had a harder time getting traction.
The other big question, that sounds great. Like, it sounds good to me. The other big question is the price point. Like, what percentage is the app store keeping versus the actual developers that are releasing the themes of the plugins? Because I know there are a lot of marketplaces out there, marketplaces for theme shops selling child themes or plugins selling add-ons, and they really kind of screw over the people that sell these things. I mean, they're doing they get 60 and the people that develop the stuff get 40 or 70, 30. Like, it's really ass backwards in my opinion. Like, if you develop something, you should be getting the majority of the money for that. And if you're not, then there's a problem. And there's a lot of theme marketplaces out there doing that currently. I hope the price point on this, I don't think it's been announced what they're going to be charging, unless I'm wrong. But
yeah, and when I talked to Brad, at least for WP App Store, which is the one I talked to, they'll be taking 30% of sales.
Okay, and I'm okay with that. Like, if you're providing a service and you're selling it and you're worrying about the e-commerce piece and the transactions and making sure the money, I'm okay with giving you, 30% or whatever, but... it should not be over 50%. It shouldn't even be close to 50%, in my opinion, because I'm doing the work. I'm the one building it. I'm the one supporting the people that have problems. All you're doing is facilitating the way to collect money and give my product out. So that, that seems legitimate to me.
Agreed. I've tested those waters in the past and I've seen some that work well, some that want entirely too much. It doesn't make sense. You end up having to sell a tremendous amount of the product to even start recouping costs, so it doesn't quite work very well unless you're really pushing out a ton of stuff. Yeah, create better products, sure, but the support piece is another point of contention there in the marketplace world. How are you going to support that and to ensure that the product stays where it needs to in the marketplace? How are you upgrading it? Bug fixes, the whole nine. Having a clear thought and process behind that to ensure that people know what expectations should be. There's a lot to think through. All in all, I hope it works out because I think it's cool. If it's anywhere near what Apple has done there, it could be huge for everybody. The end user, the amount of products that they can get with the click of a button from one interface, the developers obviously in the shops around the products, and of course the App Store in itself. So we'll see what happens.
I think, you know, like you said, the how prevalent it becomes in the community is sort of will determine how successful it is. I think some of the, I mean, I think really what could be sort of the fulcrum for this sort of business's success is how default it is. And by that, I mean, if, you know, Brad and company are successful in what I would assume their aim is, which is to, you know, get this onto like WordPress hosting companies as a default package. You know what I mean? Like if it's sort of like how, you know, Jetpack sort of, I would say, artificially exploded overnight. It's because it was in all the hosting, you know, the default hosting setups.
Well, I mean, it helps when you're attached to WordPress.com. That's automatic, you know, pretty much the entire WordPress world.
Right.
Just my opinion.
No, absolutely. But that's what I mean. I mean, it, something like that would really tip something like this over the...
There's a huge market for premium products. And it's all, like you said, it's all segmented across the whole internet. You have to kind of know what you're looking for. You have to know if you want Genesis or if you want iThemes or whatever it may be to find it. You know, if you search premium themes or whatever, there's so many spam hacky crap out there that sucks. It's ridiculous. So to rank high for that organically is really, really hard, especially in the theme market because it's just so saturated. But yeah, I think it's once everyone that's actually selling products gets behind something, which the WP App Store could be it, then that's the one that's going to be successful. And that's one everyone's going to support as long as they don't turn bad.
Evil. Plus one.
Indeed.
All right, we need more rap music. Let's go.
I'm telling you, you guys, send me stuff for my little soundboard, my pads.
Why don't you pick it up and show everybody?
which one? Which board? The big one?
Big boy.
Oh, I can't do that.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
I mean, I could, but I think it would fall apart.
We don't want that. Not live, anyways.
Mm-hmm. So what else has been on your guys' mind? You guys have obviously been busy. We talked about WordCamp. Any interesting projects or things of late?
I got awesome projects and all sorts of interesting stuff. What I would love to talk about, though, is WP Candy.
Oh.
And, you know, so obviously there hasn't been as much content coming out lately.
Mm-hmm.
And people think I have the answer to why, and I don't. I have no.
Well, you're the answer man. You're
not. I'm not a writer. I've posted, I think, one thing on.
You're Brad Prime. You know these things.
Yeah, I don't know. So I'm curious from you. So now that we have you live, you're on the air. You know, you haven't been as active in the Twitterverse and
absolutely
lately. What's going on?
No pressure.
Yeah. So I was. There's been. I mean, I would say less activity. I mean, I think before today, the podcast recording announcement today, the last post was probably like 8-9 days ago, which is crazy weird for WP Candy, which I realize. Thanks, Brian.
I'm just going to check that fact real quick.
It was around that.
14 days.
14,
whatever.
That's what I thought.
2 weeks, something like that.
So for a couple weeks there, I was... pretty slammed getting a shipping workflow in place. So, learning about international shipping, learning about bulk shipping delays that can come into play, which can be maddening and is probably far too meta for this particular podcast. But I have stories. And getting hopefully what I think are all of the issues that could happen worked out for this first issue. I'm talking about the WordPress magazine, which everybody should have one. So go check that out, WP Candy Quarterly. And that definitely took up for time. And then, to be honest, for a bit of a stretch here, I mean, I've been busy with different things, expanding on pressed ads and getting started on the next issue of the Quarterly. An element of it for me, particularly with the writing stuff, has just been lacking some inspiration lately, which is just completely honest. Like it's... on my high days writing for the site, I'll do 1,500, 2,000 words. You know, it's definitely, it's work. I mean, it's a different sort of work. But after WordCamp Phoenix, I did a presentation there on WordPress and the field of journalism, which was fun for me because I got to sort of step back and take a look at what I do here and what I want to do, where I want to go, and also like what people are doing with WordPress is, you know, it's all in the presentation. I did a post about it on the site, and started thinking about what's the best kind of thing that I can do, particularly when it comes to writing stuff about WordPress. And I think I've found it, and I did a couple of posts to try that out that seemed to go pretty well, but, you know, some more longer form feature story type of thing rather than necessarily 100%, 200, 300 word posts talking about small events, right? Trying to get more more bang for the effort, more return for the time spent. But of course, that sort of stuff does take more effort, so obviously that stuff's not going to happen, you know, 5-10 times a day like people would expect other posts. But that was an element of it too. So I mean, it's definitely not, you know, some weird thing.
Just make us all feel good. It's not dead. It's you've
far
been
from
busy.
It. Far from it. Been very busy.
Busy.
There have been definitely weeks prior to the last couple where, you know, there's some burnout factor in writing as much as I tend to do. And so there have been weeks in the past that have been pretty light or completely absent just because it's pretty draining, you know, particularly if you want to be creative and do good stuff on a regular basis, which is part of the challenge of this sort of thing and part of what I need to sort of figure out and improve for the future. But it's far from gone. I mean, this is my thing. This is what I do. So
it's how I roll.
It's how I roll.
And, you know, definitely congratulations on episode one or whatever we're calling this.
Ooh,
issue
yes.
one.
Issue number one. The big black cover edition.
It's awesome seeing, you know, this type of content about WordPress and print, to be honest, which is funny because we're so used to being online, you know, reading blogs, reading our readers, whatever it may be. But to actually see this stuff in print, people you know, people in the community you know, you've read, you followed. I mean, look, like, I made the first issue.
You did. That's what I was going to say. You're only into it because your shiny head.
Recognize that head?
Featured.
That's my head. And there I am. And actually, I just point this out. This is my fiance's rear end here. This is her backside. So she made the episode. I don't know what it is about both of our backsides, but you want to get them in. So that's cool.
Well, that's...
But it is. Hats off to you guys. I mean, it's a huge undertaking. I can't even imagine because I've never done something like that.
Right.
They like come up with something this awesome, but also coordinate the shipping and the sales and, you know, the customer support, which I'm sure came in, especially after you started shipping.
Oh, absolutely.
I hope this lasts for years to come because it's something that's needed in the community. And it's not something, I don't need a monthly magazine, but something like this that I can physically touch. Is really, really cool. So I've been doing the best I can in the Philly community to promote it.
Well, I appreciate that.
WordCamps, I pass it around, meetups, I pass it around to everyone to go buy one. So hopefully you're seeing some sales.
I need to get a little, what you're telling me is I need to get a little reference, a little affiliate thing in there for you.
Yeah, affiliate link.
Affiliate stuff nice, but you know what? If it's my friends, I really, you know, whatever.
Right.
Well, speaking of that, affiliates, that's an interesting discussion point. Yeah, I'm telling you, we see it online all the time. There's so many products breaking out. We just talked about the App Store. Where does that kind of lie as that thing starts to expand? If it goes anywhere, how do affiliates come into that? In your guys' opinion, the use of affiliates in the WordPress community, is there too much of that going on? Do you guys think that that's a big deal? Should we see less of that? What do you guys think?
So I was talking to a WordPress company, and I'll hold back on too many details because I'm actually working on a cool story for the site about it. But was talking to one recently who
it's a
I
tease,
think,
man.
That's what Jeez. I do. That's what I do.
That was a tease like I ever heard one. Well, I'm not going to tell you anything about what's happening, but.
But as a, for instance, there's someone somewhere that exists that that I think is taking sort of an interesting approach to it in the sense that they didn't have any sort of active affiliate program set up, and they actually just kind of tried to implement it organically. So if they saw somebody either talking about their stuff a lot, or they could see that this one particular business or other was buying a lot of themes or something, or sending a lot of business their way, they would contact them privately and try to set up some sort of it was basically like a reverse opt-in affiliate system where not just anybody could sign up and start spamming. Because I mean, which I thought was kind of interesting because a lot of times, you'll see a lot of spam activity when they're open. I mean, I would think you know, just thinking about the magazine, we were just joking about the affiliate thing, but I would be hesitant to set something up because I don't want anybody talking about anything of mine that's potentially disingenuous, you know, that's throwing stuff out there just to get people to click on it and maybe buy it to get a kickback. I mean, that's not that's gross. That's weird.
Well, that model's kind of interesting. I mean, I think it'd be hard to sustain that, but how cool would it be if you're just sitting there one day and you get an email or phone call from a company that you think has an awesome product and they just throw something your way? I mean, like, whether it's monetary or not, I mean, that's just that'd be really cool.
Absolutely.
Well, my thoughts. I like affiliate links. I mean, I like to, you know, I like to use them. I like when companies have them, especially if I'm promoting them. Is it a requirement? No. There's certain companies out there that I wish they had one. Like VaultPress would be nice because I, you know, you sign up a lot of clients under VaultPress. But
you know, I heard VaultPress is pretty cool, man.
It is cool. And I love Backup Buddy, so don't get me wrong. I love Backup Buddy.
So wait, what you guys are telling me is I need to get sponsors for these shows so that you guys can
I mean, affiliate. I think if you're promoting a service and, you know, you're the reason I found that product, you know, you should get a cut. You know, I don't mind that at all. Like, we use affiliate links. We have all of our recommended providers, themes, plugins. If there's an affiliate link, we set one up, and that's what we use going forward and everything, you know. If somebody buys something because we pointed them to it, it's nice to get a little kickback, and it's usually not much. You get a couple bucks here, a couple bucks there, but that stuff adds up, and it makes you feel good, you know. So,
you know, we have a program
for affiliate links. I like it.
We have a program that's secure, and you know, some folks do really well with it. I personally, I mean, I've got some affiliate links. Do I put them out there? Rarely. It's just not my thing to go out there and try to do that. You know, providing other services and those type of things. That's really where I look at making my business. The affiliate piece is not something I get too thoroughly involved with.
Well, I mean, it feels like there are two sides to this. The one is the, you know, I don't want to say, I guess, reasonable person doing reasonable things, mm-hmm. helping people, signing up clients, telling friends. I mean, you know, we've all probably had people when we, you know, when they ask a question, you recommend something, they go, oh, do you have like a code or an affiliate thing or something to give you credit for that? And then you've got, I think, the other side of it, which is there are people I think not only obviously in the WordPress community, but all over the place that will kind of build small businesses around the affiliate existence, like the fact that there are affiliate links. And I think that's probably more what I react to.
Yeah, that I mean, that stuff's garbage. I think we all know that. Like, you know, when people come to our site, we have a preferred partners page, and it lists all the people that we like, hosting companies, theme companies, plugin companies. The stuff we like, the stuff we use, the stuff we recommend every day. And those, the majority of those, I think maybe even all of those are affiliate links. But obviously if you hit, you know, I know exactly what you're talking about. I think we all do. These spam sites, all there are affiliate links. Everything's an affiliate. They have a bazillion hosts. They don't really care which one you pick. They just want your money. Like those you need to look for. And that's, it goes kind of back to trusting what you're reading online. You know, if you hit some random link, you don't know the company, you don't know the site, you don't know anything about it, and all it is links. You know, don't click on that stuff. I see Amazon affiliate links all the time. Right? And I know to look out for that. Like, I don't want to accidentally click on one the next time I buy something completely unrelated, they make $5, you know? Like, that sucks. But if I'm buying something and it was a useful resource that gave me that information, I will click their link because I want them to get a little kickback. They're the reason I'm buying it in the first place.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, so it's basically like everything else, which is, you know, moderation within reason.
Yeah, and this conversation, I mean, could be completely outside of just WordPress. This is just the internet, you know, like in the internet community, how do you feel about affiliate links? Because they're all over, and especially Amazon. Amazon's everywhere, you know. But you look for it. Like, you look for that little, I don't remember what a query string is, ref equals whatever. It's like their affiliate ID tag. Like, I'm used to seeing that, and then I know, oh, well, they probably just, you know, swapped out my affiliate link for theirs. So, you know. If I'm on click a link and I'm not quite sure, I'll click it in incognito just so it doesn't track me, you know?
Yeah, leave me alone. Quit following me.
I'm Slim Shady like that.
Another rap reference. I'm digging it.
I'll have to add that to the soundboard. So, Brad Prime, I get the sense that you might want to talk about WordCamp San Francisco.
Yes, San Francisco. So, actually, there's two big WordCamps to talk about. So, like, the two meccas on both coasts. Like, WordCamp San Francisco, which is basically the WordCamp. I think we can all agree that's kind of, if you're in the industry, that's kind of the one you need to try to get to. You know, WordCamp San Francisco, that's where, you know, essentially the hub of WordPress is. And then also WordCamp New York. So WordCamp New York has been scheduled for June 9th and 10th, which just happens to be on my birthday. So if you want to buy me something, I'll be at the after party. That's all I'm saying. and then WordCamp San Francisco is, drum roll, pull up the exact date because I don't remember. August 4th. August 4th. So in August is WordCamp. What's interesting about WordCamp San Francisco, and this is actually brought up in the chat room, I hadn't caught on this fact. It didn't even click when I looked at the website. It says one day. It says August 4th. It doesn't mention any other days. And there's some back and forth in the chat room on whether that's firm. Like there's no, you know, it's one day event and there may be dev days, but they're not necessarily committing to that or whatever it may be. But it just strikes me as odd because WordCamp San Francisco last year was, I want to say like 4 days. I mean, there were a lot of days last year. I only went to, I think, two, but I think they had a couple other days. So correct me if I'm wrong in the chat room, but do you find it interesting that even if there are other dev days announced, they're not committing to it right now. They're only saying August 4th. So that kind of strikes me as odd that the largest WordCamp, or at least one of the largest, you know, in terms of importance in the world is WordCamp San Francisco. And there's only one day.
I mean, I can't quite remember, but if I recall correctly, the exact, you know, schedule or program for last year, it wasn't 6 months out. You know, it was the exact schedule might have just been, you know, a month or 6 weeks out, something like that. I'd kind of be shocked if it wasn't a multi-day event again, unless they, you know, really weren't happy with last year. But it seemed like it went pretty well.
I would be too. And I guess the thing that is a bit irritating is it's such an important event for people to go to. And then you have people like me that are on the East Coast. So I'm the opposite side of the country. So for me to go out to San Francisco in the middle of summer is as expensive as it gets. I mean, flights out there, 2 years ago, WordCamp San Francisco was in the spring, off season. It was not summer. It was spring. Flights out there were, I want to say, around $350. Maybe, you know, tops about $350. Flights out there in August for me are topping $600. It's everything's almost triple. Hotels are triple. Everything is triple because it's the summer months. And I don't think they're really taking that into account. Like for me to go out there, I'm going to drop probably $2,000 for two of us to go out there. Easy. Even if only for a couple days.
Absolutely.
And if the event's only one day, there's basically no incentive for me to go out there other than to see my friends and, you know, to be at that event. But there's really not a lot of incentive for me to be out there for one day. It's hard to justify $2,000 for a day.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know. It's almost like a South By thing, isn't it? I mean, you don't necessarily go for the day of sessions. You go for all of the other, like, socializing party time. I mean,
those that know me, you know, that's pretty
well, I mean,
much
no, it. Not for the, not necessarily. Yes, I mean, that I'm is the, absolutely
the,
true.
The Southwest, and I don't get a ticket to the event. I'm just at the parties, you know.
No, not necessarily for like that side of it, but I just mean you go there to meet people who are doing things in this.
Well, absolutely, and there's obviously a value to that, and there's a value to the event, even if only for a day, and just to meet acquaintances like. You know, me and Dre, like, you know, we do business together. We've done business together. We're acquaintances. We're in the community together. We're good friends too. So it's like to go out there, there's a value to that too. But it's like to do all that, if it's one day, like especially people on the West Coast, they're going to be in and out. They're going to be in there probably, you know, maybe Friday and they're out Sunday. Done.
Sunday. Yeah.
And I'm out there. I've just dropped a couple $1,000 and I'm like, well, I want to hang out with you guys for like 3 or 4 days. You know, I want to get my money's worth for this trip and it doesn't happen.
I mean, I'll be honest. I don't mean this as a slight against San Francisco, but I think, I mean, for me and probably for all three of us to an extent, a lot of the reasons that I'll go to WordCamps is to meet people and to spend time talking to those people, not necessarily individual sessions, even though that's the core of WordCamps. But I mean, we've talked about before, WordCamps aren't for us. Ideally, or at least that's my opinion. So, I mean, honestly, I really don't think as far as that aspect of it goes, and my experience is limited to last year's WordCamp San Francisco, I think you can probably get a lot more bang for your buck going to 3 or 4 other WordCamps throughout the year also big ones. I mean, you guys run two, you know, giant WordCamps. Then you
not
can,
giant, but awesome.
Well, I mean,
brilliantly awesome.
How many more wonderful adjectives do you want to apply to yourself? But I think, you know, I mean,
magnanimous.
Hating is bad.
I'll throw them out all day long. Actually, that's all I have.
I think there's a lot of appeal to WordCamp San Francisco, but at the same time, I mean, it's not the only place that those things can occur.
I agree. Right. I mean, it's a great event. Don't get me wrong. The speakers are top notch. I mean, it's an amazing event. It's just really hard when you're far away to justify that cost. And like you said, I could go to two or three other ones and, you know, to total the same price as I could go to San Francisco. It's like, I feel like I need to be there because my entire business and company is ran around WordPress, but it's tough for me to justify. And even if they do have dev days, they haven't announced it. So at what point do they announce it? You know, if I'm trying to get my ticket early and save some money and then they come back and say, oh, by the way, Friday is dev day and I've already bought my ticket and I'm flying in that night, you know, I just got screwed, which sucks. But I don't know. Well, venting a little bit, but I love the event. It's always a great event. It's a who's who of the WordPress community by far.
Hmm.
It's just, I don't know. I wish it was, I don't know, either longer or more of the off season when it's not so pricey, because then I could justify one day going out there.
Makes sense.
Just my two cents. But WordCamp New York is June 9th and 10th, and I will definitely be there. In fact, my company's sponsoring, so and I might even be speaking. Nothing official yet, but I've thrown my hat into the ring, so we shall see. But I'm sure it'll be a great event. They didn't actually have a WordCamp New York last year. They had one the year before, and I think they had, I want to say, 800 to 900 people. I mean, it's one of the biggest in the country as far as attendance. And it's, I mean, as it should be, it's New York City, so it's a pretty awesome event too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's so close to Blog World too. It's crazy.
It is. So Blog World's like the week before. I think Blog World ends Thursday and WordCamp starts Saturday. Something like that.
Yeah.
It actually works out good. So a lot of people are coming into Blog World that are in the WordPress community are going to stay for that. So especially if they're out of town, like it again justifies the trip. Boom, you're hitting two events within a week span.
Sure.
You know. Where's that pony? I just want to kick it one more time.
Wow. And I think someone broke in your office area there, Ryan.
Into mine?
Yeah, there was someone sneaking.
Oh, there was action. There was movement.
Yeah, it was good stuff.
I think that was our stand-in sound engineer for the moment.
Gotcha. Well, thank you, sound engineer.
Soundboards, and he apparently nearly avoided the camera. I should also update. I don't know.
Is he a cat? You can tell us. Is he a cat? I have a feeling
he is a large human cat. That is absolutely true.
I knew it was a cat. I knew from the minute you started talking about a cat. I knew it.
I never started talking about a cat.
Oh.
Okay.
I knew what you were saying. Like, it's a cat. It's a cat.
I have moved on to the Tullamore. Irish whiskey.
Look at you.
I see you working. I see you working.
Yep. Just a salute.
Oh, man.
Huh. So, and I don't know if there was something like this at WordCamp Philly, but at Phoenix, the one that I apparently chose to go to instead of San Diego, which I still feel really bad about, that there was a sort of, I think it was during the dev day or during the sort of small meetup day. There was a discussion that involved a roundup of options, or a roundup of sort of the software and apps that developers tend to use when building things with WordPress. And I'm curious to hear a little bit about what you guys tend to use, because I know that's where a lot of us live our lives. And I'll drop into the chat room the link that somebody kind of aggregated everything that was discussed at Phoenix. I put it into the IRC, right? I'll put it into the Spreecast room too.
Yeah, baby.
For those people. I got double chat room.
Just say it. Fun.
Where do you? Okay. We'll go around the room. What do you guys write code in? What's your choice code writing app?
Dre does more front end stuff. I'm not as geeky as either you two.
Well, I would say you should probably start with what are you on Windows or Mac, because that
okay,
kind of
sure, big difference sure. Too.
Very true. I am all Mac. Macalicious. So I write in Coda. So text edit and Coda pretty much day in, day out.
Brad?
I write code in Notepad and I use Qt FTP to push it up.
So you are PC.
I am crazy as a cat. No, I'm just kidding. I don't do that. And if you do that, you should just stop coding, period. No, I have one foot like in the Windows side. I literally have two monitors on the Windows machine and then these two monitors on my Mac, and I have Synergy, which goes across. So I do half my dev on Windows and half on Mac. So I kind of have like one foot in each wall, and I'm just kind of humping the wall, if you know what I mean.
Wow. Oh, I know exactly what you mean.
Maybe not the best analogy, but that's what I'm going with. So I actually use NetBeans on both. And the reason being because it's the same on both. It's nice having a familiar environment on both machines. And the beauty of it is I love an IDE. I don't know why. I think it's because I grew up with FrontPage. I grew up with Dreamweaver. Like, I grew up on these heavy, you know, big programs to develop on rather than these lightweight, you know, Notepad++, TextMate, whatever. Like, I grew up on these really heavy systems, and I've become very used to them. And the fact that it has SVN integration is just amazing. Triple J got me started on NetBeans, and I've loved it ever since. So I use NetBeans for pretty much everything. You know, if I'm doing FTP, I use FileZilla, mainly because, again, it's the same on both, and I can sync my sites through Dropbox. So, but yeah, NetBeans all the way for me.
Now, Dre, do you have any sort of a dual OS setup?
Because no, I've got a Windows Win7 lappy sitting here when I'm testing stuff. But other than that, it's all Mac. So yeah, just for testing. In two instances, it makes sense. If I'm putting a new site up or something like that, need to test cross browser compatibility stuff. It helps out. And then also when cleaning a website, right? So there's some cases where we've got conditional malware that's affecting, you know, IE, or it's just affecting Windows versus my Mac. I can go in and run specific tests from that environment versus my regular stuff.
That makes sense. That's what I was going to ask about. Yeah. I have a similar sort of, well, not for that exactly, but I do have PCs available. I actually run most of the podcasting setup that I now have, which I still need to do a post about. I'll do it soon once I get it all perfected, but I do have PCs available. I will code if I'm coding remotely. I use Coda. If it's locally, I'll use TextMate.
Very good.
I'm seeing a lot, especially within our company and even in the chat room, people are mentioning Sublime too. And I've used it a little bit. It's a cool app. I mean, it's very clean. It's easy to follow. There's some WordPress extensions, which is probably the totally wrong term to use, but that you can hook into it to help you out with functions and things like that. But it seems like Sublime 2 is really getting quite an audience. There's also a couple mentions of Coda as well, which seems to be really popular in the Mac world.
And you've got the same thing. It's called Clips inside of Coda, where you can have just snippets. Now, in fact, I think on WP Candy, probably now a year or two ago, there was a post with
than that. It's probably three or four years old. It was the old guard. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, I knew there was something in there from a while back. But, yeah, it's really useful because you put a lot of the fun stuff that you're using a lot and you just snap it out. Good to go.
There's just that's one of my favorite things with getting together with developers and just coders in general, is like looking at their layout, because literally everybody has it different. Nobody has the exact same thing. Yeah. You may think you do, but there's probably something you do a little bit different. And it's fun to see, like, hey, what are you working on? What are you doing? Especially when I was 100% Windows, because there aren't that many Windows developers in the WordPress community. Surprise, surprise. Yeah. I think John, Triple J, John, and Viper are the only two I can name off the top of my head that were when I was, you know, a couple of years ago. Now I know John isn't. I don't know if Viper is. But so being a Windows guy, I'd always go to them to say, hey, what are you using? What's your setup? I want to see what you're doing. And they would walk me through everything, which is I love that, because people always show you something that's a little bit more efficient than what you're doing. And you should listen to that. You should try it, because if you could be more efficient, why wouldn't you want to be?
Yeah, the hot button topic on that level at the Phoenix discussion was version control. and what everybody was using, because it seemed like across the board, everybody said, I know I can be doing things smarter.
And you don't see a lot of, there's not a lot of presentations about that either, like at WordCamps, like what, you know, someone getting up in front of everyone saying, this is what I use, this is how I work, this is why it's better than what you're doing and more. And I know there have been some, but it's not a regular topic. It's not something you see at every WordCamp, and I haven't actually sat in on one of those.
Well, it's a tough sort of thing because, I mean, like we just said, there are two, at least two major platforms you can be working on, and even at that point, I mean, you know, if somebody is doing more front end, more back end, it might be different. I mean, it's probably hard to, you'd have to do like workflow theory or something rather than extremely practical stuff. Because if you hit on the wrong note for somebody that's maybe on Windows, you're talking Mac, then they're going to zone out for the whole presentation.
Yeah. The wet noodle effect.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I come in. Like the programs I use, not every single one, but the main ones I use, I like to make sure they're cross platform. You know, I don't want to be specific to Mac. Specific to Windows. FileZilla, for one, is not. And I know a lot of people don't like FileZilla. I actually like it. I don't know why people don't like it. NetBeans is another one. It's all Java-based, so it's the same on both, you know? So it's nice finding those that, are, you know, no matter what I'm on, it works the same. Now, I know there's not, like, for SVN, if I'm getting, NetBeans has SVN support, which is great, but sometimes you need, you know, an actual client so you can do some very specific things. NetBeans isn't really intuitive when you're merging and stuff like that. So those programs are different. So like on Windows, I use Tortoise, which is kind of the default. And then on Mac, I've just recently gotten the Cornerstone from Versions. Everyone talk about Versions and I never got it. I didn't like it. Like it doesn't, you can't even do a diff, which is like the main thing I do in SVN outside of commits and updates. You can't even diff.
Cornerstone's pretty slick. Stepping back to FileZilla, one of the things that I really like about it is you can map your editing program to it, right? So if you're cruising through, you want to open a file, you right click it. This is on Mac. And you can open the file. So I have it mapped to Coda. It'll pop up Coda and I have my regular workflow there. Then once I save it, I can swap back to FileZilla and it'll give me a dialog just to upload it to the server. So it's pretty seamless. So if I'm not working directly on the server via Coda, if I'm cruising through FileZilla, I could still have some of the same functionality and workflow right directly from there.
And of course, we use Beanstalk for all of our SVN repos. So SVN's not that hard to work with yourself, but it's nice having a service where I click a button and it just does it for me. And it also does deployments. So when I make a commit, it will FTP or SFTP out to whatever server I want. So Beanstalk's like critical in what we do day to day.
Yeah. And that makes a lot of sense because.
Whoa. Dre's got a call. Hang on. We'll wait. Go ahead.
No, we're good. Sorry about that. Brad Parr.
I'm an ass.
Yeah, you are. In the chat room, asked me if I'm using FTP on Coda. Absolutely. So SFTP, FTP. It's got SSH terminal right in there. Also supports SVN. You know, I do some local stuff, but pretty much I'm able to connect to any of my remote servers and edit directly from the client, and it'll sync that back to the server. You can see the changes real time pretty much. So. Very cool. I really enjoy Coda. Hopefully they'll release 2.0 sometime in the next century.
Right behind Thesis.
Ooh. What?
Wow.
That just happened.
That did.
Good times.
So you guys sound like you still use, or not still use, I mean, I never really got into Subversion. I just kind of went to Git.
Oh boy.
Yeah. But it sounds like you guys use that and it works for you a lot. I mean, I'm far from going to argue one over the other. It's interesting what people find that tends to work for them.
You know, I use both. It really depends the project and what's happening there. Who's part of the team? What's that code look like? How's it going to be managed beginning to end the whole night? I use actually Tower for Git and then Cornerstone. For SVN, and they both work awesome.
Yeah, I've worked with Git for some clients that require it, but I'm not. Yeah. I do 90% of what I do in SVN, and it's mainly because that's what WordPress uses. So I don't want to. I know Git's awesome and it's great and everybody loves it, and it's ridiculous how many WordPress people are using Git. I think it's eventually going to get there for everything, but until WordPress makes that official jump. For me and training my team on what to do, you know, I want to stick with what WordPress uses so it's familiar, yeah, rather than saying, all right, let's use Git. And then if they do like a, if they want to release a theme or a plugin, oh yeah, that's totally different. That's SVN. Like you have to learn that too. So I'd rather them just be familiar with SVN on both sides.
Yeah, I suck at both of them, but I find myself using SVN more for same obvious reasons.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I am as versed in it as I need to be to do the, you know, 7 or 8 things I ever do with Subversion and WordPress. So
I would not be surprised if WordPress gets there. I think I would love to be there now. I think the problem is there's so many systems built around the SVN. Like to recode all of those would take a stupid amount of time.
Sure.
And it's, why fix something if it's not broke, you know? So I it'll be a while before that happens, in my opinion.
Definitely. Do you guys do, and this is getting back to the, well, I guess we've still been talking about tools and what we use. Do you guys do any sort of regular writing that's not code? Do you guys still use text editors for that? Or
My text editor is more of like take notes. So I use Alfred. I don't know if you're familiar with Alfred. It's a keyboard shortcut tool with a bunch of other goodies for Mac.
That's like way too formal for me, just by the name. Like,
I use Alfred. Alfred's awesome.
No, I use that to pop text, text edit open anytime I need to write down a note. So most of regular writing that I do is either in Word for Mac or in WordPress. Go figure.
I went from Quicksilver to the Google something or other. There was some Google app that did kind of the same thing once Quicksilver was, well, the guy who made Quicksilver, I think, went and made the Google toolbar thing for Mac. And then I went from that to Alfred because I thought
Alfred's awesome.
Was moving along.
I might be, stone for this, but I use Word. Have you guys heard of it?
Yeah, I use
Microsoft Word.
Yep.
I use that.
Mac.
And if we're talking blogging, I just use WordPress. But yeah, if I'm writing, especially if I'm writing a book, the last two books, you know, it was all written on Word. And especially mainly because of the revisionary tools of Word. Turn on revisions, you can make comments, you can make strike throughs, whatever it may be. If you make changes that tracks it, that's a huge feature of Word. And pretty much any major publisher out there requires it. So, and I love Word. I mean, I love Office, which is blasphemy, but I love Office, you know. I grew up on
it. I don't
like it.
I don't think I know anybody who would downplay Office for what it does. I mean, it's
a lot of people try OpenOffice, and I gave it a really solid shot on my Mac when I bought it, and I broke down and bought Office for Mac because I just little differences that kill you, especially when doing I did a presentation for the New York meetup group for WordPress on plugin development. I wrote it in PowerPoint, not thinking. I put it on my Mac and realized I don't have Office, and I presented it in OpenOffice, and it literally destroyed almost all of my slides. Like changed the light to black. Like it really it just jacked it up bad. And it from that day forward, I'm all Office. That's it.
If I'm sharing documents with other people, it's Google Docs. If it's just for me, I've actually started using Byword. This is what I've been using for probably the past 6 months or so. Which is it's a Mac app, and it's specifically a Markdown editor, which is what I tend to write a lot of my non-blog post stuff in, which I like, that, you know, Markdown is, formatting, it's basically, you know, text formatting that actually works. And what's nice about Byword is it formats it, like it formats the text, if that makes sense. So like when you do like, what is it, the pound sign for like headlines, which is the Markdown formatting, then it's going to like bold that and make it stand out. And when you do lists, it's going to kind of format that kind of in the background for you. It's kind of nice. And it's sort of one of those distraction free type editors. So I use that when I'm not in WordPress writing blog posts.
I actually use like on my Windows, I use just Notepad for like, you know, client calls, whatever. That's how I take notes, just Notepad. You can't even bullet list. I just like tab and then make a star and make my list manually. Like I used to code almost everything within Notepad or like TextPad or something like that.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
back when I was stupid, but I've since changed.
Everybody was stupid at some point or another.
Oh, the chat room's talking about Lotus Notes. I got to believe they're kidding. So I really don't. If you're not kidding,
oh, wow.
You need to leave right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, Lotus Notes. Ryan, were you even born?
Lotus Notes.
Yes, I was. I did use Lotus. I was a baby at the time, of course. But I also, to be fair, I also see in the chat room Word Prefect. So I don't know if we can trust them to pick out.
When I joined the military, I got to my first duty station, and they were using 100% Lotus Notes and Domino. Yeah. And I didn't know at the time. I had no idea. And I learned within about 6 months that, well, at the time, Classic ASP and IIS were the way to go. And I kicked all that stuff out, and we switched the entire shop to ASP and IIS and never looked back. So it was a horrible 6 months, but I made it.
And you're better for it now, Brad.
I'm better for it. I don't remember too much about it other than the fact I hate it.
That's a good memory.
At the end of the day, that's all you need to know.
All right. Well, I mean, I have a couple. Have you guys stumbled on any interesting plugins as of late? Putting you on the spot. Should have dropped that into the producer chat first.
Yeah.
Interesting plugins. Actually, I do have an interesting plugin.
Sweet.
But I had to look up the damn name and remember how you pronounce it.
Somebody mentioned while you're looking it up, I think Markdown on Save in the Spreecast chat room, which is a Mark Jaquith plugin, I believe, that allows you to write using Markdown formatting in WordPress. To write your blog post, it saves it separately from your WordPress formatting. Pretty clever. If you have that need, I tend to write in one place and then copy over or something if I really do it that way. But it's a cool plugin.
What about you, Dre? You got anything?
No, I suck.
I have one.
Okay.
But I'm still looking for it.
Well, what's the... maybe I'm sure we can help you figure out what...
It's a rotator, a new rotator that's been released as a premium plugin, and it's responsive, which is here it is, which is the biggest draw in my opinion, is it's a responsive rotator. So if you size down your browser, it will actually size down with it and actually work. You know, it'll work probably even within a mobile environment. And the plugin is called. A plugin I have no idea how to pronounce.
Soliloquy?
Yes. Is that how you pronounce it?
For the non-English majors in the group, yes. Soliloquy. I guess, or for the non-English class takers in the group.
That.
Yeah.
That was horrible. Anyways, the plugin itself is actually really nice. So the website, and we're going to have to put it in the show notes, is whatever you just said, WP.com.
Yeah.
Whatever you just said at WP.com. And we'll put it in the show notes because you're not gonna get this by us saying it. But it looks like a really solid plugin. I haven't gone through all the source yet, but they sent me a copy, so I plan on doing it in the next few days. And it's essentially a rotator, you know, a really nice rotator, extremely flexible. You know, has Lightbox support, there's ways to tap into it, there's short codes. And then it's also responsive. So you drop it in, and if you do want to make a responsive design, it supports that. So it will basically scale down based on, you know, as you're scaling down your browser, the size of the browser. It looks really cool. A couple of guys made it, or I should say one guy with some help and some add-ons built by a few others, that are, you know, a part of the community. So check it out. There is some pricing around it, but it's like $20 or something. So. That's one that's kind of caught my ear recently that I want to dive into.
We lost Ryan, it looks like.
Really?
Well, they're saying.
I'll add you back in.
Oh, that's why. Okay. So we didn't lose anything on the recording. Some people were saying that they lost the audio.
Gotcha.
Which was because I, for some reason, was kicked out of the feed in Spreecast. But everybody should have still been hearing it on the WP Candy stream, which is the old standby. It's like the old Cold War bunker. That's where everything will keep working,
So obviously this is definitely a test because we've never used Spreecast. We mentioned it when we started the show, bugs to be worked out, a couple different chat rooms. We'll figure that out. But I mean, honestly, like at the end of the day, I mean, I think it's a pretty cool service. Like, I think it's worked well, other than a couple glitches, which you kind of expect. What do you
guys
think?
It's going to happen. Yeah, it's going to happen. I don't think it's avoidable completely with anything we're using.
No. And the only reason that happened is because I am the conduit for all of our audio, because we record it in a controlled environment and then it pipes out. So like they're actually muted in this video stream. So that's why. And I don't know why I was booted. Must have been something weird.
Definitely something weird.
Must have pissed Brad off and something.
He probably said something that I didn't like. You know, that happens. But
I think your fat human cat disconnected your audio momentarily.
Stumbled over the wire.
Yeah.
Somebody broke the solder point.
Yeah, I didn't realize. Like, if you drop, that just kills it. Kills the live feed, anyways, because you're not.
Well, but I mean,
you're feeding our audio into the entire.
Yeah. No. If my feed goes down, we're pretty screwed. That's a known.
Less of Brian. Stop everything and get them back.
Yeah. So somebody in the chat room. Well, the things moved ahead, so I don't know who it was, but kind of sounds interesting. I haven't tried it yet, so this is one of those. You know, check out at your own, what's the word? Anyway, Tabify edit screen is what it's called, which just that idea sounds, and I'll paste it into the chat. Well, it's been pasted into the one chat room, but I'll paste it again and put it in the other one. Seems like an interesting idea. Makes it possible to tab through the various boxes on the back end. I'll put that in. I have nothing more to say about it because I haven't tried it, but hey, somebody's listening and they made a plugin, so let's give them a plug.
I'm glad to see it's using the big fat tabs that look horrendous on the WordPress UI, but at least it's consistent.
The big fat tab.
That's a whole other topic. Why are there tabs to install themes and a link to install plugins? I've never understood that. It's not consistent.
You know, I think that came in on 3. I worked on the tab.
Yeah, it was like 3.1 maybe.
They were 3.1, and I remember the discussions with Jane and some of the other UI team, and it was more of a test at the time.
Sure.
And then, you know, I think the tabs look pretty cool. They work well. But I don't know that there was ever any movement beyond that, obviously, being that we still have no consistency there.
Yeah, I just like consistency, and I know they do too. So hopefully at some point they get consistent. If we're going with tabs, cool. Make everything tabs.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool. Get rid of them.
I would like to see it.
Let's see, we're talking about plugins, right?
Mm-hmm.
Plugins we like. There's one that I have been meaning to use that I haven't yet, that I found when I was putting together my presentation for WordCamp Phoenix. It's called Winer Links. That adds paragraph level permalinks to posts and pages. Mm. Which is, you know, I mean, as somebody who tends to publish on normal weeks, lots of stuff, it's kind of an interesting way to allow people to link directly to a specific paragraph or sentence or whatever.
That's cool. So does it drop like anchor tags into the content?
Yeah, just at the end of a paragraph, it'll be a linked pound sign.
That is cool. I've linked to like YouTube videos, and you know, on YouTube, you can adjust the query strings to like home into like 1 minute and 15 seconds. You know.
Yeah.
Tell them, hey, watch this until 1 minute. You know, like you can link right to it. So that kind of stuff is real cool, especially for people that are sharing.
Absolutely. That's one. And I have a couple others. Let me pull up my post. I've been talking a lot about Edit Flow, I feel like, the last month. That's one that I still really like. And there was a couple other ones similar that drew me as the page refreshes. It's like something. Scroll down to where I put it. Revisionary.
Revisionary.
So I mentioned this in a blog post last month, but it seems really cool. It allows authors to submit revisions, and I'll put the link in.
Please put the link in, because I think okay. I know what you're talking about.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, they did update it.
So it allows authors to submit revisions of content that already exists that you can choose to then publish. So EditFlow, which I keep talking about because it's, as far as I know, really the best way to manage teams or lots of content within WordPress, And Editflow is great because it also allows you to add in your own like custom statuses for posts. You know, whether you've got, you know, I think the default is what, draft, pending, review, published. So you can also add, you know, up for review, or you know, you can kind of create more gradient levels within that. But once you've published something, you don't really have any sort of ability to modify it without publishing everything that you modify. So Revisionary allows you to kind of create a draft on top of a published item, which I think is really neat, and it makes a lot of sense coupled with Editflow.
Yeah, we actually have a client that's been using Revisionary. It works good. I mean, anything you do like that, there's going to be a lot of bugs because it's a serious system. I mean, it's
a big change.
Yeah, it's a big change. It's like, you know, using Next Gen Gallery. Like, it's a heavy plugin. So with that, there's going to be a lot of bugs, little glitches, things that don't work the way you want it to work. Honestly, if I was weighing between Editflow and Revisionary, I would easily go with Editflow. Just because the people behind it are, you know, very well known, in the community. They're, you know, I believe it's back to Automatic. I could be wrong, so correct me if I am. And it's a pretty solid plugin. They're not 100% identical. Editflow is more of, you kind of have to configure it how you want it to work. Whereas Revisionary just does what it does.
Yeah, I mean, Revisionary is more of almost like it's a component that Editflow doesn't currently have. You know what I mean? I don't think they're necessarily comparable. It's sort of Revisionary is that kind of feature that Editflow is currently not.
Well, Revisionary kind of like, you know, you could give people access to write stuff, and then they have to kind of pass it up the chain of command to get approved.
Well, and where that becomes really relevant is in the enterprise, right? And that is typically a business requirement when you're talking about internal websites. So moving that direction really allows WordPress to have that type of distributed content creation capability with a workflow where, okay, I need to go through these 3, 4, 5 different approvals. I have this draft. I can't put it into production where you're going to review that. I already have content there. This goes up the chain. It gets looked at. Awesome. It's good to go, or whatever changes need to be made. And once it's ready to go and approve, you can publish it into production. Huge, huge mechanism that's used widely in a lot of the communications teams in large enterprise environments. I can see that being a really awesome piece.
Yeah, I mean, I think like I'm fairly certain Editflow could do what Revisionary does, but it's kind of like comparing like Drupal to WordPress. Like WordPress, you install it, boom, you have a blog. Drupal, you install it, you don't have a blog. Like, you have to configure it to be a blog. You know what I mean? You have to set up your content type. You have to set up a taxonomy. You have to publish it. You know, with Editflow, you have to like create your different statuses. You have to create kind of the edit. You know, you have to editorial comments come with that. You have to assign. Or I should say, you could customize the status privileges to the role, or create a custom role that you want. And maybe I'm off here, but that's kind of my take on comparing the two. Like Revisionary just does, all right, well, I made this revision. You know, I have to get it approved by somebody that's higher up to publish it.
Sure.
Where Editflow, I believe, could pretty much do the same thing, but I think there's some more configuration that has to happen up front.
Well, I mean, it does a similar thing, but not quite the same thing, because what it does is manage the statuses and permissions for pre-publishing. But what Revisionary does is post-publishing. That's really the key difference that marks sort of the difference between the two.
And they're both, I think, important, especially in larger, organizations with a lot of different content contributors and so on.
Yeah.
Two pieces that they're going to be requested. I mean, they are requirements in most cases.
Absolutely. There's another, I don't have the name of it off the tip of my tongue, but it is basically an admin-only category system for marking content as, you know, outdated or needs revisions or what
sure.
have you, because yeah, once you're dealing with thousands and thousands of pieces of content, you have to have some way of, you know, reviewing and revisioning that stuff. Absolutely.
Yep. Well, data retention, right? So over time, content changes, content needs to be removed. How do you do that? How do you do that without having to go through 10,000 posts, you know, or what have you? One by one, there's got to be a better workflow around there.
Honestly, and this is, I guess, stepping back and getting more conceptual with it, but I would say the only thing harder than making new stuff, writing new stuff, posting new content online is revising and revisiting old stuff. Like, I mean, there's, you know, I think there are a few things that feel quite as good as publishing new stuff, but at the same time, it's just as important to revisit that old content and keep it up to date, because everybody's landed on stuff that is in dire need of updating. And it's really painful for everybody else when you don't.
I think it's definitely obvious that, Ryan, you have a better perspective on this, being a you're the chief editor of WP Candy, so you know your business, like you said, is content. Mm-hmm. You know,
mm-hmm.
So it's definitely interesting to hear your kind of thoughts on the two. So
yeah,
it's cool. Now you just need to publish some content.
I know, right?
Wow. And clean up some of that old crud, man.
And clean up the old crap.
Clean up the crap, especially anything up there.
Fix it up. And actually, if just to plug something else while we're talking about the enterprise stuff, the Bangor Daily News is a really good example of an organization that has done a really cool setup with this sort of stuff. I'll link it up in the show notes, but basically they have a Google Docs to WordPress to InDesign workflow that will blow your mind. And they have a lot of it is open source and available. So for people that are into that kind of stuff, very, very cool.
It's these little workflow things that not even just external websites, but internal properties, web properties in large organizations. Maybe WordPress is a little bit lacking out of the box, if you will, mm-hmm. and has maybe been limited in its exposure to large internal sites because of that. You know, pre and post workflows and things like that. We'll see. Well, I think we'll start to see a lot more plugins and stuff heading that route, because you know, you look at the SharePoints of the world, things like that. They don't always cut the mustard with content specific type stuff when you're looking at more like informational websites versus sure. a document repository. So I think WordPress can absolutely complement that.
Mm-hmm.
But some of these little idiosyncrasies need to be looked at and worked through.
And I mean,
that's lacking. That goes back to that article we talked about, I want to say episode 2, the guy that basically listed out the reasons why WordPress wasn't cutting it. One of the biggest gripes was that editorial flow. And that's one of the biggest things that it's missing. But it should not be in core. I think we all agree on that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, these two plugins are great, you know, concepts of ways to do that. And I'm sure there's others out there. And I agree, Dre, I totally agree that we'll see more of this in the next few years, because this is enterprise level. You know, if you have a large, if your site is based on content, like how does TechCrunch do it? Like if your site is your entire money generator is content, these tools are critical, and they're critical that they work correctly mm-hmm. and do the flow exactly as you want it. So, I mean, I think we're only going to see more of this in the next few years. And I'm surprised we haven't seen more premium applications of this, because I don't know of any. Do you?
Not really.
Ooh, no.
I mean, short of getting custom work done, which will shoot up the price tremendously. Now, I guess for a large organization, that's not so much of an issue. But, yeah, as far as a premium product that you can go purchase off the shelf and it'll get you running.
A plugin like that of this magnitude or this level should be, because I guarantee if you look at the source behind these plugins, there's a lot of stuff behind it, because this is not an easy process. There's going to be a lot of code to get this done. I'm surprised neither one of them are actually selling a premium product, and maybe that's in the works. Maybe it's, you know, on the roadmap, but neither one of them have a premium option, which is surprising to me.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of advantages too once you take something commercial. I think there's another. This is something. Do we have time for one more topic? You guys have time? You guys
do.
Around? Okay.
Yeah.
I might disappear here in a minute, but
you just. I dream of Genie out of here.
I have a fridge in the office. Shamefully, I do not. But I might disappear for a refill.
Oh, do you need a refill break? We can schedule that in. I don't want you to be dry.
Do we do that? Do we do refill breaks? Is that
yeah, absolutely. I got, you know what? I got music just for it. Is that what you need? Is that what you're missing?
I just need some refill music.
All right, hold on. I got to get my soundboard going.
Well, fire it up.
And we'll be right back in just a moment as Brad gets a refill. Yeah, some good discussion points so far.
Oh yeah, I'm happy. I'm excited about this next one too, because I haven't talked to really anybody about it. Because I've been apparently in a hole for like a year.
No, it's actually, hiding?
It's actually, it's nice. I mean, in that sort of selfish sort of way, because it's like I'm out of it for basically 9 days and people lose their minds and they're like, Ryan might be dead. So it's good to know, because in the case that I do die, people will find me sooner.
Yeah, we can't have you croaking, dude. Who's gonna roll with me when I lose my phone at the next camp event, man?
Exactly.
I can't roll solo.
No, you can't. You never would have found it. Oh,
no,
gotta,
sir.
Got to restart the background music while you. Yeah, that was epic.
Oh man,
so good. See, you know how we need to tell this to Brad. The way that you can avoid these refill breaks is do like I do and just bring the bottles in with you. Then you don't have to go anywhere.
You're good to go.
What's he thinking?
That's straight rookie mistake, man.
Absolutely. Which he is far from a rookie in this field. We know that.
Yeah, right. He's not. He's not a rookie. He's playing some Bush League stuff right now. What's going on here?
And we're back.
Oh, we're back? Oh. All right.
And we're back live with WP Late Night.
Yeah, coming back from our break. Refill break. So we were just talking about, Brad, what are you drinking?
Just sipping on.
What you got?
Blue Moon, baby. The classic.
Classic. I'll give myself a little refill here. So what we were just talking about was sort of the various tweaks to make WordPress that are necessary to make WordPress really relevant in the enterprise publishing field. And that's super interesting. I think there's another side to it, too, that was demonstrated recently. Do you guys follow or did you guys hear about the launch of Subtle? I believe is how you would pronounce it. It's not quite spelled Subtle. By a guy named Dustin Curtis about 2 weeks ago when he announced this, I think. Anything? Yeah. This is where I gauge how much I need to tell you.
I'll
tell you everything.
Tell us, because I don't even see that in our show notes.
It's not in the show notes. I just thought of it because... Right, no, this is organic.
And Ryan comes with a curveball.
Oh, it's not the notes we've all been reading. It's, you know...
Yeah, why would it be? Okay, so there's this guy. I'm copying the... link to put in. So there's this guy, Dustin Curtis, who he's a designer, sort of, he's a blogger. And he wrote about, somewhat recently, I don't have the exact link right now because like I said, this just came to mind and it's not in the notes right now. But he wrote a post and I'll scroll back and I'll find it or I'll search for it while I'm talking about wanting to kind of get into blogging because he did a thing for a while. And I'm sure you stumbled upon this guy because he was doing some really cool stuff with, what are they called? Ben Gilbanks does it, sort of this, these posts that are designed in a really crazy way where each post is sort of, like an art project, art design publishing, I think is the term for it, art design, individual posts. And he did that for a while. And then he sort of posted about, well, I'm not writing so much because I feel like everything I need to write is this big project. So he started the link that I put there, dkurt.is. Thank you, Art Direction. Somebody said in the chat because I couldn't think of a word. And so he started this up and he talked about when he was putting together his new blog, he checked out WordPress. And I need to, let's see, it's spelled Subtle is S-V-B-T-L-E. Which I'll drop a link in here in just a second. But when he looked at WordPress, he said that it was too much for what he wanted, that it wasn't simple enough. And he ended up like making his own blogging platform that
not
was
simple
far
enough.
Simpler.
That's some of the first I've heard about WordPress.
Yeah, which is why I think this is really interesting. I can't.
It's pretty freaking simple.
I think that's why this is a really interesting thing. So I can't. Google's not serving me well, so I'm just going to have to scroll back in his archives and find it. Or if somebody – actually, it's right here. Somebody in the chat might find it first. But basically, it's – here we go. Codename Subtle. I'm pasting it into chats. Multiple chats because we still have multiple chats. So his Subtle project is a super minimalist. So it's not really an issue of simple. It's an issue of minimal. It's a minimalist blogging platform that really just does ideas and then publish posts. And I think it's interesting because it's a criticism on the other side of this complex WordPress or I guess WordPress plus plugins equals solutions for complicated problems. But on the other side of it, is WordPress already a solution to a simple problem, right? And there's a lot of, I think there's a lot of talk about, or there isn't a lot of talk about it, but Tumblr is exceedingly popular. And I think it is because it does a number of things well that maybe WordPress doesn't do quite as well, right? WordPress introduces a lot of stuff to the table. And I think, you know, a number of these issues have been addressed somewhat in the past few years of interface and UI work with Jane Wells and the UI team. But at the same time, when you pull up the WordPress dashboard, count how many things there are to click, right? I mean, for those of us who've been using it for a long time, it's hard to sort of dissociate ourselves to that and think about it outside of sort of the WordPress experience. But for somebody who's used to other interfaces, it can speaking from experience with friends that I'll set up with WordPress blogs, I know that it is overwhelming and they need help. And so I think this subtle thing is interesting. And I'm actually, I was thinking about, I'm not interested in being on the new subtle blogging network that he's starting, which is interesting in a whole other way. But I am interested in trying out what he's made because I think we can learn things from really simplified interfaces like this. Anyway, I'll stop talking so you can respond.
This is the first I've heard of it. Are there any, I'm just searching as we discuss here, are there any shots of like the front end? That's great. That's cool. But I want to see the back end. I want to see the admin dashboard.
Did you
like,
click the code name subtle link, the second one that I put in?
Yes.
Yes. So the management interface.
Or maybe the back end looks exactly like the front. And that's what.
Basically, yeah. Well,
is
you
that
see,
what it
do
is?
You see the ideas in the publish?
Start typing. I gotcha.
Yeah. And then he has the writing, which looks like the distraction-free writing editor.
You know, this is cool. I mean, I think it really is all about what you need and what you're looking for. I mean, you know, yeah, easy way to publish posts, no problem. There's a lot of different projects out there. Habari is another one that's always been about simplicity, being super simple. You know, it's the problem is people use these and then they want to do more, or they want to do something that it doesn't do, or they want to, you know what I mean? Like, uh-huh. As a content publisher, and you probably know this, Ryan, like you always want to do more than what the platform allows you to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's where things like plugins extend it and allow you to do that. So I mean, this is great. This is cool. And I'm sure it will take off and people will like it. But at some point there's going to be like, hey, I need a way to kind of add features to this. How do I add Facebook like buttons? How can I like this? You know, how do I add Twitter retweet? How do I add whatever? Like, I want to pin this on Pinterest. Mm-hmm. So I have to hook the code in myself to the files directly. Or is there can I just install a plugin? When it gets down to that, like, sure, if all you want to do is publish your ideas, great. But the majority of the people out there want to do more than that.
See, I'll stop you there because my point in bringing this up is not at all to say, you know, X versus Y or A, B versus B. Because mm-hmm. I think those conversations are super boring. Instead, I think this is an interesting idea. I don't think it's going to take off because I think the direction that he's going with it is a curated network for like a few people, not for millions of people, right? Which is what WordPress is geared for, the majority. But right. What I think is interesting about it is that it is interesting at least a group of people, you know, and it got some buzz when it went up. I think TechCrunch wrote about it in various places and it got some, I mean, he has some interesting people blogging using it right now, some who were using WordPress before and are now using it to try it out. I think when we describe it as, well, yeah, it's good if you just want to get really simple things out there. I think it's interesting that, and I think is a solid criticism that WordPress is not that thing necessarily, that WordPress is maybe too complex for, I just want to write a few things. And that's as far as I go with what I want to do. Right. I mean,
does this thing even allow images?
Yes.
Because none of the shots show me an image, so I'm wondering.
Yeah. No, it seems to. I mean, he does blog images.
It's weird because there's some screenshots, but there's not a lot of specifics about the admin side.
Mm-hmm.
And even the screenshot that shows the editor just says title here, post here. It looks like the invisible or the full screen mode for WordPress. You know, just kind of everything's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Put your title, write your post, that's it. Like, I'd be curious to see what kind of tools, formatting tools, can I bold stuff? Sure, you probably can. I'd be curious to see how intuitive those are, though.
Do you think that WordPress could learn anything from these kinds of ideas? I mean, is there anything in a simplified WordPress project? Is there stuff in there that could be stripped away from the average user?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're not learning from the other people around you, then you're doing something wrong. Like, you always need stuff like this, right? You always need to look at this. If you're not looking at this, then there's a problem. You have too close of a mind and think you're better than everybody, which is a huge problem. So you should always look at stuff like this. And WordPress, and we all agree, it tries to be as simple as possible, but there is a lot you can do there. You know, I don't know what WordPress can do to kind of make it simpler. Is there like maybe a simpler install that should happen? Maybe an install just for publishers that completely hide themes and plugins and settings and all that, and just boom, you publish and that's it.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. That's
simple mode.
Yeah.
Set up the capability for a simple mode that could be user generated or enabled, right? If I'm a publisher or what have you, I don't want to use the whole layout. Just use the simple mode, click a button. Now I've got just a watered down version.
It reminds me of like installation profiles within like Drupal and other platforms, where you can kind of set up these installation profiles, and when you install it, you get not only the platform, but you get like installed plugins, you get some themes installed, like everything's configured, like out of the box it does, it's like a template.
Right.
It's not just the default install WordPress. You could almost have like a super simple, easy peasy install that just does, like, it hides all the admin tools and just gives you the content tools, and that's it. Like, you can't extend anything. It's
right.
That's
or just
it.
A just a plugin that gets rid of that.
Stuff. You could easily hide all that stuff, remove your permissions. So you couldn't install plugins, you couldn't change your theme, and this is what you get.
You do it by role.
Yeah. So I don't think it's really a WordPress, I think it's something that it's not necessarily a WordPress core issue. It's more of a, does somebody want to develop a plugin or a theme or both that handles this and then promote it as, hey, this is kind of the competitor to this Zvitable, whatever how you pronounce that.
I think it's supposed to be pronounced Zvitable. Yeah.
Zvitable.
I probably could have pronounced that really good about an hour and a half ago, but ain't happening now.
Oh, boy.
So I'm going with Zvitable.
Snuffling.
Svitabling.
Oh, I've got to start a list of all these sound effects we need. So, do we have assignments for people? I mean, I think we've got to be approaching the end mark for this podcast.
Well, we need a Svitable competitor, so there's at least a theme, if not also a companion plugin going on there, so. Who wants to make Svitable theme? Raise your hand.
Svitable. Oh boy.
And no one.
None at all. I think we've almost outlasted our chat room here.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
We've almost outlasted ourselves, I think.
Pretty good. See, I think Brad in the chat room is asking, I guess this would be Brad 3 at this point, or Brad?
Brad 3.
Brad 3.
I don't even know. It's like an orgy of Brads up in here. It's bad. I need to figure something out.
I hate his bad.
He's asking, is it back end or front end? I think this issue that we're talking about is probably all back end. You know, when you open up the dashboard, how clear is it where someone should go, what someone should do?
And granted, WordPress is probably the easiest one I can think of as far as the ones that I would consider a CMS. Compared to Drupal or Joomla or any of those, and WordPress is extremely easier.
Right, but at the same time, I think that the average human isn't comparing it to those, because the average computer,
they don't know.
They just want to make stuff online.
That's what they use.
I mean, if we're completely honest, the average person is probably just writing stuff on Facebook, which is depressing in itself. But then the next level up is probably like, oh, what's this Tumblr thing, or what's this Postgres thing, or Or some people just use Twitter. But I mean, I think
what you make of it, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess I'm interested in it because, like, I relate it to like casual gaming, right? The advent of Facebook games, and particularly iOS games, has brought a lot of people into gaming that probably wouldn't have installed like a CD-ROM into their computer or bought like an Xbox. You know what I mean? That gaming is much bigger than what it was before because of these technologies. And I think in a similar way, there's a lot of people who aren't blogging because it's not quite as prevalent or it's not quite as ubiquitous as some of these technologies allow it
to be. I mean, I think a lot of it goes back to use what works for you. Like, I mean, there's a big group of people I think WordPress should do everything and anything in the world, and I don't agree with that. Like, WordPress does a lot, and it can do a lot more than most people think, but there's a lot of instances I know that WordPress is not a good fit. Like, if someone comes to me and says they want to open an e-commerce store and they have 10,000 products, I immediately tell them WordPress is not the fit for you. WordPress is not – like, there's some really good e-commerce solutions out there. But to handle 10,000 SKUs and, you know, multiple warehouses, WordPress is not your fit. It's not going to be good or easier. It's going to be bad.
Grab a Snickers bar. It's going to be a while.
It's going to be horrible. So, like, you know, there's – sure, I could probably get it to work, but it would be hacky and it would be bad. So it's not it shouldn't be the end all be all. Like, it should fit as much as possible, but you don't want to shove it into spaces where it doesn't necessarily work. Now, I totally agree. You could make a theme or a plugin or both that could almost probably mimic this 100% if you wanted, right? You could do that. You know, WordPress is that flexible, and I think that's why everyone loves it, because it's so flexible. Whereas this system is just for ease of use of publishing content.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Period. Like, I don't think you can install features, you know, like buttons, retweet buttons. I don't think you can do that.
Sure.
I could be wrong. I don't know much about it, but it doesn't look like you can.
Hmm.
And if you need to start extending that direction, then you're probably going to look at something with a little bit more extensibility, like WordPress.
Cool. Okay.
Indeed.
That's what I was interested in. That's what I wanted to talk about. So I'm good.
I like it.
I'm good to go.
We should keep tabs on that, because I'd be curious to see where it's at 6 months or a year, even if it, you know, the fact is it's all membership based. So, and right. Does the membership actually give you access to the code?
Sure. I don't believe platform, so.
But, you know, I don't want to drop any names, but, you know, how secure is it? You know, seriously, like, if I can't see the code, I don't know if I actually trust it. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. All right. So how do we wrap up? What do we do? What do we usually do? It's been so long, I don't even remember.
I don't know. Take a shot at a bet.
We talk about Twitter names. We've got Williams B.A., Dramada.
Williams Ba.
Yeah, his profile picture is a sheep. Ryan Immel at WP Candy. Hashtag WP Late Night. We've got a phone number somewhere. It's probably in a blog post. I didn't even check whether we had voicemails, but I don't anticipate we did.
Nobody calls us.
Nobody would call us ever. So, in other words, call us, leave voicemails, because we're curious.
Well, I think we should mention, if Spreecast works out, which I'm getting a good feeling about, it seemed to work pretty well. We mm-hmm. definitely want to have some guest hosts on. So you see that black box, that empty box there in the video feed. We want someone to come in and fill it on occasion and be a
this
guest.
This could be you.
And have a drink with us and talk WordPress. So if you're interested, get a hold of us. You guys know how to find us, so talk to us. We want to have you on.
You can always shoot an email over to wplatenight@wpcandy.com, and you can leave us a voicemail at 815-322-WPLN.
Nice.
All right.
Well, hold on. I lost it, but I had that great fade in for the opener. And now it's just like when we talk about segues. I'm totally butchering it now.
Where's
but
the
I just thought of it.
Sound effect.
See, we don't have it. You guys need to start sending me these sorts of sound effects.
I sent you the drink ones, pouring a drink.
Oh, I need to relook it up.
Awesome. Dude.
All right, cool. So are we going to verbally commit to one for next week or the week after? This month?
Yeah.
I'm down.
Do that.
There will be one next week.
There will be one
next
week.
I want to see episode 5 next week. That would be pretty awesome.
I hear it. That just
make
happened.
Make it consistent.
Brad, Ryan, always a good time, fellas. WP Late Night, episode 4, in the books.
Cheers.
See you guys.
I'm out.
That Diet Coke has.